Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Yes, my name is Lynette. I may sound a little froggy today. This is what happens, Dr. Mixon, at the end of May. Right around May for allergies for me. I don't get the puffy eyes. Uh-huh. I don't sneeze. I just get the sore throat and then I go hoarse for a week or so. Yeah, I sound a little froggy. So Dr. Mixon will be doing most of the talking, but it is Lynette, believe it or not. Okay. Yay. And we're here. Beautiful Mother's Day weekend.
It is indeed.
Oh, I'm so excited. I get to see all my kids and grandkids on the beach near my home. They always say, what do you want for Mother's Day? And for decades, it has been a picnic, if the weather is beautiful, near water, with my kids. That's
sure.
It. Yeah. So well, that's what we're doing tonight.
Well, good for you.
I love it.
Yeah. I reminded my wife that, you know, this is Mother's Day weekend, and she said, can we skip it?
Oh, because her mom would be far, far away in China.
And,
is that right?
Yeah. And okay. You know, basically, though, I told her, no, we can't do it. We've got an 11-year-old who really wants to do something for Mother's Day. Yeah.
Oh, she can go out to the backyard in your garden and clip some of your beautiful flowers.
That's right. We don't have a lot of flowers yet.
Not yet.
Yeah. You know, we had some early. Some of the bulbs came up early, but now they're pretty much gone.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're not looking too good.
We don't have all the late flowers yet. But
okay.
Another month. Yeah, it's all turning green out there.
Oh, they're coming. All right. Well, let me give you the phone number because it is a little bit different than what we've had the last few weeks. 206-644-6006. That is the number to get through with your calls. And please, lots of callers today so I don't have to talk. How about that? 206-644-6006. That is the number to get through with your questions about your health, maybe a health or diagnosis of somebody you know. And Dr. Mixon, why don't you tell me what I should do? I don't take any meds because they dry me out and then I know they're not good for me. And it's almost easier for me to talk if I don't take anything. But what about that? Anything for the drippy nose?
Well, the drippy nose, I mean, there's a lot of nasal sprays you can use. There's some steroid-based nasal sprays that work pretty well.
You just go to the store, over-the-counter type stuff?
The steroid ones are a prescription.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, the over-the-counter ones actually, it's kind of odd. They're the most addictive ones.
And I don't want that. That's why I just don't take anything.
Yeah, things like the Afrin and the neosinephrine.
Yeah, I don't want that. Mm.
I've always thought it's odd that the most benign ones that are safest to use for your allergies are prescription. And the ones that anybody can buy are the ones that, you know, will cause rapid dependence on the spray.
Yes.
So that's kind of a weird one. But
yes.
Nevertheless, you know, if you have an arrangement, if you have a long-term patient-doctor relationship with a family physician, mm-hmm. then you can usually just call them up and say, it's the allergy time again. Would you refill the
maybe nasal that's spray? What I'll do. I only have 2 more weeks of this for me.
Yeah. And so, because usually he doesn't want to take the time to have you come into the office.
To say you've got allergies.
Yeah, you got it again. You've had it every summer for 26 years and
you've got it again. Yep.
No, that's stupid. It's not good for you. It's not good for him. Mm-hmm. And what they'll usually do is just phone it in.
Okay.
Have the staff phone it. Or arrange for refills as you need them.
There you go. And if the nose is taken care of, then the throat may not hurt.
That's right. Yep.
Okay. There you go. I got my question answered. Show is done. No, it's not. No, this is Leading Edge Medicine. We'd love to talk with you about what's going on in your world. Maybe some questions if you didn't get through last week. Now is the time to call. Phone lines are wide open. 206-644-6006. And Dr. Mixon, what's making news today for medicine?
Well, a couple of things. You know, we often get bad news for medicine, but we've actually got some very good news now, especially for those of you that are coffee drinkers. So there was a recent retrospective study. It actually looked at almost 200,000 people, 190-some thousand people, about two-thirds women, one-third men. And they followed up their data over an 18-and-a-half-year period. And the study was looking at what people use as a beverage, a recreational beverage. What do you drink when you're thirsty? And what they found was that people who drink a sweetened soda pop, something, you know, Coke or Pepsi or root beer or Dr. Pepper or whatever, they actually have all-cause mortality. That is, they die about 20% more often in that study, in that 18 years, than people who were in the general population. So people that consume a sugared beverage had a 20% increased risk of death of all causes, a 25% increased risk of death from cardiovascular disease, which I thought was fascinating. On the other hand, people who drank a carbonated beverage that had an artificial sweetener actually had 5% less chance of dying than the average American. So while we generally diss artificial sweeteners, it turns out that at least in this large study, they had a 5% less chance of dying of all-cause mortality than the average American person, which is fascinating. Even better, though, if you use tea, you had a 22% better chance of not dying. So 22% lower risk of mortality if you drank tea instead of any of your carbonated beverages. If you drank water, it was kind of interesting, 21%. So you got 1% better from drinking tea than from drinking water, which surprised me. Because I'd always thought water would be the best, the baseline. But tea is slightly better than water.
Whoa.
But coffee is best of all. Coffee gave us a 25% reduction in risk of dying over that 18-year period. So worst is to drink sugared beverages.
Okay.
Next the artificially sweetened.
Okay.
Next, tea or water.
Okay.
Then tea.
Then coffee. Okay.
And coffee is the safest of all.
Okay. And Kool-Aid, where does that fall?
That's sweetened beverage.
That's like at the very top of the bad.
Right. Do not drink. Yes.
No. Wow. That's so interesting about coffee. Usually I think we think of that rich, dark, full-bodied taste of coffee as the best.
Yes.
But you were saying that the dark coffee
is actually less good for you.
Less. Yes.
It turns out that, you know, coffee is a bean. Mm-hmm. And the polyphenols that are doing the good stuff, they're protecting you against neurologic degeneration and protects your heart and your lungs and your kidney. Those polyphenols are heat sensitive. And so the darker the bean is roasted, the more of those are destroyed.
Mm.
And so light roast coffees that have a softer, mellower flavor are better for you.
Wow.
Okay. And unroasted coffee beans would be best of all. And they actually do make a green coffee extract because all coffee beans start off green. Just green means unroasted. So, but the least roasting, the better. So, and I don't like the Starbucks taste. It all tastes burned to me anyway. So I always ask my wife to buy the light roasted beans and then we grind them ourselves.
Okay. That's the blonde roast.
That's
maybe.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good. Okay,
so blondes may or may not have more fun, but especially in my house with a Asian wife.
And that's right.
not much blonding around my place.
No.
But blonde coffee is better for you.
Okay. Better for you. And more caffeine in the blonde or just not burnt?
Just not burned.
Not burnt.
The difference seems to be the polyphenols. Caffeine is actually quite good for you as long as you're not hypersensitive to it.
Okay.
some people, caffeine will speed up their heart rate and give them palpitations and irregular heartbeat. But they're the minority, actually.
Okay.
Most people tolerate caffeine pretty well. And caffeine is actually a very potent anti-cancer compound.
Ooh, that's a good thing to know.
Yes.
Another good thing for coffee.
Caffeine makes most of the anti-cancer therapies work better, too. So if you're a cancer victim and you get loaded with caffeine before your chemotherapy, you'll probably work better.
Okay.
Just
go for the coffee break
before
the chemo. All right. Well, we're going to take an early break here in just a moment. And then we have Matt, first one on the line today with a question for Dr. Mixon. And if you have a question too, we invite you to call in. This is Lynette with a little bit of a allergy throat going on today. So little hoarse sounding. But Leading Edge Medicine continues with Dr. Jerry Mixon. We are live in the studio. And here is that number to call, 206-644-6006. We'll be right back.
Ooh, you come on like a dream. Peaches and cream, lips like strawberry wine. You're 16, you're beautiful, and you're mine.
And welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, with a little bit of a hoarse allergy voice, with those spring flowers that I love, and walking outside. You know, this is kind of what I have to deal with for a couple weeks.
It is.
And then it'll go away.
That's right.
And it's gone. So
cottonwood trees will quit doing it to you.
Yes, that's the once they're gone, usually Memorial Day weekend, then I'm good for the rest of the year. So,
okay.
All right, Dr. Mixon here taking your phone calls. The more calls, the less Lynette will talk. 206-644-6006. And we already have Matt. Matt, thank you for calling
Hello,
in.
Matt.
Yes, good morning.
How can we help you, sir?
Good morning, all. I'll try to talk a long time so then that doesn't happen.
Thank you. A little break here with my warm water.
I have a question. Previously, you were discussing with a gentleman about, he was asking you about testicle shrinkage using testosterone. And I was wondering, this shot that you were mentioning to restore that, is if that is a way to kickstart the testicles into obviously growing back and making more testosterone. Why not? Is there anybody out there that actually just uses that idea instead of taking testosterone cream?
Yes, and we do it for a fair number of people. You know, there are some men that just don't like the cream or that they have small children. They're afraid of contaminating with their cream, you know. Although you can usually avoid that by you put it, you know, use it on your genitals and then you don't have to worry about contaminating anybody except your spouse. But the HCG injections we use, they're pretty effective in relatively young men. Men whose testosterone level has dropped but is not all the way on the floor. We can kick their levels up to moderate levels. It does take an injection, you know, 2 to 3 times a week. So it's a fair number of shots. You know, you're looking at 100 to 150 shots a year. But if you're not needle shy, and it is not much of a shot, it's a tiny, tiny little needle. It just has to go in subcutaneously. In the olden days, we used to say you had to put it deep in a muscle, but you don't. You can absorb it under the skin just fine. And so we do use that for some men, and it works reasonably well with some men, just not everybody. Answer
your
question.
So is there, so my question, my second follow-up to that would be, is there a way, all these products you see out there on the market, over the counter, that are supposed to do all these things, is there anybody out there that's actually trying to mimic that HCG shot in a over-the-counter type supplement of some sort?
No, no. Human chorionic gonadotropin is just that. It's a human hormone. It's a neurohormone. It is a hormone that your body produces to stimulate your gonads to work. Women make a lot of it when they're pregnant. In fact, a pregnancy test, that's what it's measuring. It's measuring the amount of HCG in her urine. And if she gets pregnant, her HCG levels rise, and we can measure it with a little dipstick, and they say, ah, yes, lady, you're pregnant. So it is a pregnancy hormone. In men, it is a, you know, get-to-work testicles hormone. But it's nothing that you can get as a supplement or an over-the-counter. And it's a fragile molecule. If you take it by mouth, you tend to destroy it. The gastric acids rip it to pieces.
Okay.
So, but when we use it as a diet suppressant, because it also helps to lower appetite a bit, we can give a low dose of it under the tongue, and you'll absorb enough through that mucous membrane under your tongue, where there's a very rich blood supply and very thin tissue, that you can get enough of it up into your brain to alter your appetite. So we can use that as an appetite suppressant a bit.
Okay.
What else? Yeah. Now there are supplements that can raise testosterone level a bit, and I know you've seen ads for them because no man who's on the internet can avoid them. You're just deluged with these things.
Yes.
Statistically, they tend to raise testosterone only in a relatively young man, and it raises an average of about 12%. 12% is not much, because if you were an 18-year-old boy, your peak testosterone, total testosterone, would run about 1,200. And at a 60-year-old man, it's down around 200. So it's dropped by 1,000 points. So a 12% rise would get you from 200 to 224, which isn't much use. Okay, so yes.
No, not for the money.
No. So there are things you can do that'll raise it slightly, but not enough to be really efficacious for what we want it for.
Okay. I was just curious because it seemed like an interesting concept. I didn't know if there was.
Well, we've got guys that are, their levels are down, but they're not all the way down. So their testicles are still working somewhat. That, you know, they're, instead of, well, I'm generally trying to keep a man at 700 or 800 for a total, a free testosterone of 150 to 180. That's kind of the range I'm shooting for. If his total, instead of being 700 or 800 where I want it, is down at 400 or 500, then the chorionic gonadotropin will usually get him up where I want him. If he's much below 400, the gonadotropin is not usually going to get him as high as you want it to be, because the testicles are just getting old. It's primary organ failure. Most men, by the time they're 50 or 60, their brains are actually kicking out a lot of luteinizing hormone and follicle-stimulating hormone, trying to flog your testicles into working better. But they're just aging. They're just pooping out. And the HCG will help, but it's not a substitute for youth. Let's face it, there is no substitute for youth.
No.
So if you're running in the 500s, then you, without anything, then...
We can probably kick you up. Yeah, we can probably get you up where you want to be, because you're not feeling it awful. You know, if your total is 500 and your free is 120 or so, you know, 110, 120... You're not in bad shape, and we can probably kick you up where we really want to get you without having to use testosterone itself. But if you're the typical 60-year-old and your free testosterone that I want to be 150 to 180 is down around 50, you're going to need some more help.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you, too. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
All right. Thank you so much, Matt. All right, we're going to head to a beautiful Woodinville today, a perfect day to be outside. Mm-hmm. In Woodinville, we have Ray on the line. Good morning, Ray.
Hello, Ray.
Hey, good morning. Sorry to hear about your voice there.
Yeah, I feel great. Yeah. I just sound a little froggy. Oh. Thank you, Ray. Yeah,
fortunately, she doesn't look froggy.
No, I don't look froggy.
She has not turned green. There are no warts.
Yeah,
I mean, looks
good.
Fine.
I'd need a lot of supplements from Dr. Mixon if that was true.
So how can we help, sir?
Well, you know, I lived in Oregon before moving up here, the grass seed capital of the world, and I am like super-duper allergic to grass pollen. And I mean, when they do that little skin test, you know, people get like a little micro bunt. I got like, you know, a big, something as big as a 50-cent piece.
Ooh. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Good.
So even now, you know, the grass season around here bugs me. But, hey, glucosamine, you know, I'm sorry, Costco sells that stuff, and I saw it. You know, I get their coupon book.
Yeah, glucosamine, chondroitin sulfate. Yeah.
What's that?
Said the chondroitin sulfate with glucosamine. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. And then they have MSM with it.
Right, yes.
So, you know, I go to Dr. Mixon's aide, Sarah, and I get the hyaluronic. Is that how you say it?
Uh-huh.
Shots on my knee. I can't afford the PRP or the stem cell. I'd love to. But
okay.
So I got thinking about I pulled up a PubMed article, and it says that people are in their control group, you know, in the placebo, the overall it helped out.
Yes,
I was just wondering what your thoughts on it. I know you're a good researcher and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, those studies have been around for 20 some years. People that take the glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate with and without the MSM, I'm not sure the MSM does much good for most people, but certainly the chondroitin and glucosamine. There are studies where they looked at people's knees, and half the people, they put them on daily, or usually two or three times a day, glucosamine, chondroitin sulfate supplementation, and the other group didn't get anything. And over a couple of year period, they watch them for 2, 3, 4 years, and they did annual x-rays of their knees. And what they found was the people that were just aging naturally, the cartilage would shrink and shrink and shrink, and the bone would get closer and closer together, indicating there was less and less cartilage there. And in the people that were taking the chondroitin sulfate and glucosamine for several years at a time, they actually increased their spacing in the joint a bit, indicating that they probably were laying down a little bit of new cartilage. So, you know, it's not the sort of thing you'll see in a week or a month or even a year. But in these studies that were done for several years at a time, it made a significant difference. So, you know,
it might be worth it then.
Yeah, if you're arthritic, you know, and you want to use a supplement, I'd say perfectly reasonable to get yourself on glucosamine, chondroitin sulfate, and do it on a, you know, morning and evening, or even three times a day if you can remember it, and use it long term. It doesn't work for everybody. It's not 100%, but, you know, when they compared the two experimental groups, the group that used the chondroitin sulfate had a significantly thicker space, wider space between the bones at the end of the study.
Yeah, well, good. Thank you. This one was done in 2017. So, yeah, I'll have to look into. Are there any side effects associated with those two?
Well,
three.
Of course.
Uh-oh.
But they're pretty minimal. You know, obviously, there are people that can be allergic to almost anything, you know, and if you have an allergy or a sensitivity, it's just luck of the draw. There's no way to predict.
Oh, okay. So but
people with multiple allergies tend to have multiple allergies. So, you know, the fact that you are seriously allergic to grass pollen says, well, okay, there's probably some increased risk for you. But the biggest risks are just GI. You know, anything you take by mouth, it's going to upset somebody's tummy. They're going to get diarrhea or gas or that sort of thing. But I'm not aware of any serious issues.
Okay. Hey, were you talking about the water stuff? Does just drinking bubbly water, does that have any problems with that? You know, I don't really drink.
Yeah, what category would that be?
Yeah, well, it's carbonated.
Carbonated
water.
It's the phosphoric acid. Can actually leach the calcium from your bones.
Mm. Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the phosphoric acid in the carbonated beverages can cause problems.
Okay, even those sparkling waters with all natural flavors and no sugar.
Yeah, I know.
The sparkling stuff.
And
the
taste.
But again, you got carbonic acid, you've got phosphoric acid, and those over a long period of time, people that are somewhat prone to thinning bones anyway can accelerate the process.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Take care.
Great information, Ray, Dr. Mixon. My name is Lynette, and I have allergies. There you go. 206 is the number to call in, 206-644-6006. That number again with your call, your question. Phone lines are wide open for you right now, 206-644-6006. We'll be right back with Leading Edge Medicine right after this break.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game that we know as love.
And a very good morning to you and happy Mother's Day weekend. My name is Lynette here with Dr. Jerry Mixon taking your phone calls, Leading Edge Medicine, and whatever the call. Maybe something you're interested in because of a family member's recent diagnosis. Maybe something that you don't quite understand. Maybe you're having some problems or a little nervous and wanting some answers perhaps about something that you're going through, whether it's aging related or health related or disease related. We'd love to have you call in. Here is that number. And phone lines are open at 206-644-6006. There we go, 206-644-6006. Tom on the line from Centralia now. Good morning.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Good morning. Dr. Mixon, I was curious, how come you haven't recommended quercetin for the allergies? I see a lot of literature about that, how it attenuates the symptoms. And so I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Well, yeah, actually, quercetin and resveratrol both do. And those are, those are good, healthy polyphenols. They have a lot of beneficial effects on the body. They decrease inflammation of all sorts, including allergic inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I didn't recommend it because I just didn't think of it at the
time.
That's
right. Yes. I was doubling up on some of that this past week.
Uh-huh.
So why I went through it quickly, got my sore throat. Now I have the hoarseness for 2 days and I should be good.
Yeah. What people need to realize is when I'm here on this show, I never know what's going to be asked.
Yes.
That's
true.
Every call is a surprise. I have no warnings. I have no preparation of any kind. We come here, we turn on the microphones and
that's
go.
That's right.
And what you get is whatever happens to be on the tip of my frontal lobes at any given moment.
And there you go.
You do remarkably well. You are the master. I'm not criticizing you. I was just curious why you didn't bring it up.
Yeah, I just didn't think about it. That's why.
Yeah. I think it came up last week at the beginning of this, and that's what you had mentioned. And I thought, okay, I'm doubling up on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, I think it was Samara that mentioned
that's right. Yeah, she may have mentioned
Dr.
that. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But yes, quercetin is it's a good anti-inflammatory and it has a very mild antihistamine effect.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep.
And NAC was the other one too.
Yes. Well, and NAC, of course, helps kick your mitochondria into high gear too. Okay. It gives you more energy. So
there you go. That's why I feel great. I just sound hoarse.
Yeah. Feel good, sound crummy.
That's right. Yes.
That's right. But we're just going to say it's one of these breathy, sexy names.
That's right.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Leading edge. Yeah, that doesn't sound quite right, huh? For this program. Yes.
Anyway, we'll save that for your Valentine's Day program.
There you go. Yes.
So I'm sorry if we keep interrupting you. What's up?
Okay. No. It's all right. That's okay. All that talk's fine with me. I noticed that because you bring up these senescent cells, and I noticed I did a search on Dr. Google, which I think is very effective. It brings up a lot of these PubMed publications, and they talk when I was when you brought up the senescent cell therapy, one of the things that they have is a therapy that they use in conjunction with a drug that starts with a D that I can't.
Dasatinib. Yeah, dasatinib. And you use quercetin with it. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And what we do is we use, in people that tolerate it, 100 milligrams of dasatinib with 1,000 milligrams of quercetin for 3 days. And then we give you a 4-day break, and we do it for 3 more days. We give you a 4-day break, and we do it for 3 more days. So a total of 9 days over a 3-week period. Dasatinib and quercetin work very well. They're probably the best documented combination we've got. And Mayo Clinic is using this combination in a whole lot of their senescent cell therapies right now.
One of the things that I noticed when I was reading it, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there. They use a lot of acronyms that I have to go back and say, what is this? But the vascular endothelial cells. That's where they notice the senescent cell or the senescent damage, at least primarily. So it seemed that that was, they were indicated, was in the vascular endothelial cells. And so, in its ability to, all the things that it does, it's a living organism. And it
keeps the blood flow smooth and keeps it from being turbulent. Yes. So healthy endothelium will give you much better perfusion of all your tissues.
Right. So that's the thing that I noticed, because probably it's one of the effects that the senescence starting early enough where it maybe is an effect of the high blood pressure.
It is part of it, yes. And what we're finding is that senescent cells form in every tissue in your body. Mm. Now, obviously, we don't do brain biopsies on people, but we do it on animals because all animals, all mammals develop senescent cells. I shouldn't say all animals, all mammals do. Turtles don't seem to. For some reason, the sea turtles, those great big...
Oh, the sea turtles.
They will live 400 or 500 years and are still fertile and reproducing. And I mean, they have a very unique physiology.
Wow.
But mammals, all of us mammals do, and we form senescent cells in our brains and our skin and our hearts, our lungs, our bones. Every single living tissue we make seems to make senescent cells. Hmm. Some tissues make it faster and earlier than others, but eventually cellular senescence gets us all. And the trick, of course, is to delay the formation of senescent cells as long as possible. And both quercetin and resveratrol in high doses, both of those polyphenols slow the formation, inhibit the formation of new senescent cells. But getting rid of them means we have to somehow kick either your immune system into high gear so that your immune system finds and kills senescent cells. That's what that's part of its function. Mm. In young people, when they form a senescent cell, it will live for less than 30 hours, 20-some hours. Your immune system will find and kill that senescent cell and make it go away.
Wow.
In older people, because our immune system is less vigilant, does a less efficient job, if you form a senescent cell, it can take 2 to 3 weeks for your immune system to find and destroy that cell.
Mm, okay.
So we will have 14, 15, 20 times more senescent cells in old age than in youth simply because our immune system is not as good at getting rid of them. In addition to that, we have a lot of things that make us form them faster.
Ah.
Because if you have high body fat, you make more senescent cells. If you have more inflammation for any cause, worn joints, bad hearts, any inflammatory process increases your production of senescent cells. And senescent cells themselves trigger other cells to become senescent. So a guy who's in his 60s or 70s can have 100 times more senescent cells than an 18, 20-year-old.
Wow. Okay.
And that's why we get in trouble, because those senescent cells, you've got a 100-fold rise in them. They're inhibiting the healthy cells from healing and growing and repairing. And eventually, your senescent cell load can get so big that you just start sliding downhill. That's a senile death. That's the old guy who just wastes away and dies of old age.
Yeah.
That's a senescent death. That should be, we should be able to prevent that by lowering their senescent cell load periodically.
Well, is that that cancer drug or the, what is that,
Dasatinib. Yes, we use
the one that kills the cancer cells or the
Kills senescent cells. Yes, yeah, and that's what we use. Yeah, I basically swiped that protocol from Mayo Clinic's research. I looked at the Mayo Clinic's research projects, and the ones that gave us the best results were the ones using the dasatinib and quercetin combination. So that's what I started using in my clinic several years ago, and we're getting really nice results with it.
Just one quick more question, and it has to do with just the dosage. What is considered high-dose resveratrol?
1,000 milligrams a day or so. Although I do know neurologists that use up to 5,000 milligrams a day with early Alzheimer's, trying to slow down the damage.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome,
sir. All right. Thank you, Tom. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more of your questions on Leading Edge Medicine. The phone lines open right now, wide open, and we could take your call. If you call right now, don't wait till the end of the show. 206-644-6006 is the number. It's 206-644-6006. We'll be right back.
Really, 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 are you really mine? Really, 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 are you really mine?
You tell me that you love me, and you tell me that you want me, and you even wear my graduation ring.
Too
it's too wonderful.
Too
it's too beautiful.
Too
it's a fantastic thing. Are you really, really?
I listen to these songs.
Yes.
And I think the nonsense sounds we used to put in, the doo-wahs.
Doo-wah, doo-wah.
And the bebops.
Shoo-bop, doo-wada-wada.
Yes, shoo-bop, doo-wada-wada, yes. And today, in the rap, they just drop in four letters, scatological insults.
Yes, pretty much.
What? I'd much rather hear a doo-wop.
A doo-wop. Yes. Or a bum, 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 bum. Yeah,
yes,
I can't do that one today.
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the decline in American music is really kind of sad.
It is sad. Wow.
But now I'm sounding like my father.
No, but we're right.
But we're right. That's right.
Yes,
because,
yes.
You know, I mean, we all know that Elvis was a genius.
Yes.
And the Beatles. I mean, mm-hmm. Come on.
They had to figure it out, and then they had to repeat it and replicate it on stage.
That's right.
Not many can do that now unless they have auto-tune. All right. Leading Edge Medicine here. The phone number to get through. The calls are wide open right now. The phone lines are open for you.
Oh, my goodness. Nobody calling.
Nobody right now.
There is not a single person in the Seattle area who has a medical question.
I think they're enjoying sunshine.
They've all become healthy?
Yes. And they're all in the sunshine or buying Mother's Day gifts.
Oh, they've had their brain baked by the sun.
That's true. That
and
could
it's caused amnesia. They don't know who they are, and they can't remember our phone number.
Oh,
give
boy.
Them the phone number again.
Absolutely.
Just to help these poor, demented souls out.
206-644-6006. The number is 206-644-6006. Call now, and you'll get right on through.
That's right.
We would love to talk to you about whatever is ailing you, whatever is bothering you or concerning you about your health or loved one.
And that phone number bothers me just a bit because this station had the same phone number for the whole 20-some years
that I've been doing
the show. And they physically moved. They moved to a new studio across town. But they weren't able to take their phone number with them. And I don't understand. I've had the same phone number for decades
same
and decades.
Here. Ever since.
And every time
phones.
I change phones or move my house, I get the same number.
There you go. What? I don't understand.
How come a radio station that has had the same number for decades couldn't keep their number.
I will blame it. Should we blame it on Inslee?
Yes,
it doesn't make sense.
I have no.
It doesn't make sense.
He doesn't make sense. So I guess it fits.
There you go.
Sure. Why not?
See, there you go. Your calls at 206-644-6006. We do have Dan on the line from Tenino. Thank you, Dan, for calling in.
Tenino. Hello, Tenino. Dan, how are you today, sir?
Oh, it's warm out. There's this big yellow thing up there.
I know.
I've heard it's called a ball of fire, and it causes cancer. So, you know,
be careful.
Are you sure? Cancer? Maybe that's my problem.
Skin cancers, yeah.
That's right. Wear your sunscreen.
Well, you know, growing old ain't for wimps, and I'm turning into a fossil, and I'm having these weird health issues that bother me.
All right. Well,
what's going on?
Tell me about them. Maybe I can give you a little bit of advice.
Well, you know, I'm like the poster child for strokes and heart attacks and DVTs, and I swear, in my right arm, right about where my armpit is, boy, I started getting this nasty deep pain, and my God, it hurt like I was had a piece of hot lava in there, and I tried everything, and it hurt to push on. It felt like there was a little bump there, and then it moved into my other arm. Any idea?
Wow. Okay, there's a bump you can feel that is very tender to the touch.
It's on the one arm.
Okay, and what about the other arm? You said it's moved to the other arm.
I went to a doctor, and he ran a portable ultrasound, looked at all my veins, and they seemed quite pliable.
Okay.
And he didn't have many excuses. He took a blood test and said, I don't think you have DVT. I don't think you've pushed any clots. And then it moved into my other arm. The bumps went away. You know, they weren't huge bumps. They were small, little, around the size of a BB. And then it moved into my other arm. And, I mean, the pain was profuse. You know, I don't like painkillers, so I try and stay away from them. But I had some. I was doing 2 Tylenol and 4 Advil. And then I moved on to my hydrocodone that I'd had left over from tooth repair. And none of that did anything. So I just quit taking pain meds.
Okay.
They weren't working.
Well, I'm sitting here scratching my head trying to figure out exactly what BB-sized lumps, exquisitely tender, up in the axilla area on one side and then move to the other, but without the lumps.
Yeah, and interesting, my thumbs, during that same time, my thumbs got all tingly. And now that it's moved out of my right arm, my one thumb, it still has residual weird pain in the very tip of it. Must be neurological.
That's what it sounds like, yes. Because you can get referred pain. The brachial plexus, the large bundle of nerves that comes out of your neck, dives down under your collarbone, goes into the armpit, and then runs all the way down to your fingers. Anything that irritates that nerve up high can give you the sensation down low. We call it referred pain. And so if something bothers that axilla, that brachial plexus, you can get nerves anywhere in your hand and arm. Both altered sensation and altered function. So it's, once more, the question is what's going on up there that makes it exquisitely tender. Obviously, nerve pains for any reason can be intense. And so, you know, the question is what would cause pain on both axilla, both sides of your body, sequentially, first one, then the other.
And when my right hand, if I put my hand behind my head and held my arm up looking like a soccer player or something, the pain would almost go away, which I found incredibly unique.
Actually, I like that. That helps us with diagnosis, though, because what you're doing is you're opening up that axilla, taking the pressure off the structures. So, you know, something was getting compressed. Something's inflamed and irritated, and just the compression of having those that closed space was aggravating your pain. Now, you've already had the ultrasound, so we know it wasn't a venous thrombosis. That's the...
No.
Okay. Yeah. I doubt if he was doing an office portable, he probably was only looking at veins. He probably was not getting much of a view of the arteries.
Mm-hmm.
But arterial pain can be really, really painful if you've got an inflammatory process in an artery. But again,
but it wouldn't move to the other arm. I mean, if it was a clot, it would stay in one arm. And the fact that it moved to the other one just weirded the heck out of me.
All right. Yeah. No. You know? I'm not having anything that really triggers a paper or a diagnosis at this point.
Wow.
What did your? Well, I'll tell you what. We got to take a break here.
We'll take a quick break.
But we'll be right back, and then tell me what your doctor told you. Okay. Maybe from what he said, it'll give me some other hints.
All right. You stay on the line there, and we will be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine, hour number two. And boy, lots of phone calls here too, Doctor, after we find out or at least get some information about the arm pain that he's going through. Wow. Leading Edge Medicine returns in just a moment, and we will get to all those calls. Stay right there.